I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word today. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 9. The Bible says, as Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, if you read chapter number 8, you're going to find that this is a continuance. It says in verse number 1 of chapter 9, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we, that we say, not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he ministereth the seed to the sower, both he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experience of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 7. It says, "Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, as he has purposeth in his heart, so let him give." And I want to preach this morning on that thought, so let him give. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your love and for your word. Lord, I want to preach what you want me to preach, and I want to say what needs to be said. Nothing more, nothing less. And I pray for the power of the Spirit of God to help me. Help me to say the right things. Help me to have the right spirit. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to hear the right way. And then Lord, when it comes time to respond, I pray that we'll be obedient unto you. We're going to thank you now for the results. We've given this already to you. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Paul's writing here to the Corinthian believers concerning their commitment that they've made to give. They've committed themselves to give. This is above and beyond their tithe. And you go and you read, and this is a yearly commitment that was made. You understand that there was a group of Macedonians that were coming, and Paul had told the believers in Macedonia about the way that those at Corinth had committed and how that they had been faithful over the years in giving. And there's a band of believers from Macedonia that's going to be coming, and they're going to be expecting this. They're going to be expecting what Paul has said to be true. And so Paul is telling the Corinthian church, he's exhorting the Corinthians to remember their commitment and to not bring embarrassment to himself for his boasting to them, because he's told the Macedonians these people are faithful in what they promise and what they commit and what they say. And he sends some brethren to Corinth before the Macedonians come so that they'll have their offering ready. And it's like he's telling them, sometimes, you know, we need to be reminded of what we're here for and the things that we're committed to do. Don't ever forget what the Bible says. The Bible says, go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The Bible also teaches us in Mark 16 and 15, it says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, say, the Bible teaches us that after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, we should be witnesses unto them, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We also have the great commission that's given to us in John chapter number 20. It says, as I was sent, so send I you. We understand that all through the Bible, five times, we have the great commission given to us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the great commission is given to us, and also in the book of Acts. Now this commission is for us to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the responsibility of the local church to pray for missions, to send out missionaries, and to support missions. That is the responsibility of the local church. And as we understand that, we understand here that there was a group of people that was needing help, and there were some mission projects that were needing help. And the church at Corinth had committed themselves to help spread the gospel and to get the work done and to help those poor believers in other places. You got to remember, Jerusalem was a place where there was many poor Christians. And Paul was the reason for much of that because of his persecution there. And Paul had this unending love and this unending desire to be sure that those Christians that had been persecuted so harshly were taken care of and provided for, because now they were under the thumb of many of the religious leaders. Paul used to be one of those leaders, and now he realizes his responsibility. I can imagine every time he goes to a place and he sees that there's been some father's life taken and he was a part of that, that he's reminded of his responsibility to be sure these are taken care of. Well, I want you to understand that we're indebted to the world. We owe the world Jesus. We owe everybody the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can't all go. I can't go to Africa if God doesn't call me. Now, physically I could go because I have that ability. But if God doesn't call me there, I can't go. But we can all do certain things. Some of us can go. We're to reach our Jerusalem. That's everywhere around us, isn't it? Right here. This is our Jerusalem. Then our Judea, we're to stretch out. And then our Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. That's a responsibility. And the way that we do that is by giving to missions. We do our part here, and then we help others as they go other places. We help plant churches in America. We help send missionaries across the seas. We help do things by giving and supporting. Now, we can't provide the money for every missionary, but we can help support some, can't we? We can help support a few along the way. And the church at Corinth had made some commitments in doing these things. And so Paul has sent a band of believers, or he sent some brethren to go before them to be sure that everything was in order and that they would have this offering ready. And this offering was not the tithe. That goes to the church, to the local church, to the work of the church, to paying the bills, to taking care of those that are on staff, to taking care of the upkeep of the building and the maintenance. This was something that was above and beyond. This was to help others outside the church. That's what this offering was for that Paul was talking about. And Paul then moves from reminding them of this commitment to the offering itself, of the offering to the offering itself. And as we consider faith promise commitments, I want us to look at these next few verses of Scripture here, beginning in verse number 6. And we're just going to look at it. We're not going to take a lot of time. It's pretty plain and simple. But first of all, I want you to see how much you give should be considered. How much you give should be considered. The Bible says in verse number 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Paul is not putting pressure on the Corinthians. He's just giving them a principle. He's helping them to understand some things. He is showing them that as they give by faith, that if they give sparingly, they're going to reap sparingly. If you plant just a few seeds, you're just going to reap what those seeds that you've sown produce, right? But if you sow bountifully, if you sow many seeds into the ground, then you're going to be able to reap what? All those seeds. Now, people have different abilities, and we understand that. And sometimes sparingly to one is bountifully to someone else. So it's not about how much you have. It's about your obedience to God. It's about doing what God puts in your heart. Faith promises just that. It's not being able to take money out of your pocket that's already there. There's no faith to that. It's given above that. See, it wouldn't be hard if we were to take up an offering right now for me to reach into my billfold and to take out, I've got $12. That's more than I usually have. There's no faith in giving that. Do you understand? Because I've got it. It's right there. Faith promise is asking God what we should give. And then, by faith, committing to giving that, and then expecting God to provide it. Does that make sense? Because as we ask God and God directs us to give, we obey Him, God provides. If we're obedient to the Lord, I promise you, God will provide. He'll provide all of that. By the way, He may allow you to give it, and then you hit a hard spot in the road, and He knew that was coming. And you say, I can't give anymore. I can't do what I'm doing. You know, you may commit to $10 a week, and then it comes to one of those spots, and you realize, man, it's just not that. Lord, you're either going to have to provide, or I'm not going to give it. But you're going to tell the Lord that. You don't need to come tell me that. You'll tell God. Because this commitment is between you and the Lord. But here's what the Bible says. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Faith promises extending yourself. It's going beyond just what is in your pocket. What's simple? There's no faith to that. That's sight giving, isn't it? You know? I know what we're committing to give, my wife and I. And we've committed ourselves to give so much every Sunday. We give so much. And we're extending that. It's not by a lot, but we're extending it. We're giving more than we can afford in some ways. But I found out that God just keeps on providing. He's an amazing God. You know, sometimes I'm just amazed. But, you know, we don't give near as much as a lot of people give to the church. You know, we tithe, we give offerings, and then we give faith promise. And we don't do near as much as what some people do. But sometimes I look and I think about what we give, and you know, we're giving more here than I've ever given in my life. And I don't make as much here as we made in previous years of my life. But God's been so good to us. And He's blessed us. And I found out you just can't outgive God. You can't. If God puts it in your heart to give and you give, God somehow takes care of it. I want to tell you how. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He owns the hills underneath the cattle. And somebody says, He owns the taters underneath the hills that's underneath the cattle. And somebody else said, He owns the dirt that's round the taters, that's underneath the hills, that's on the hills, that the cattle's on. I'm telling you, He just owns it all. And you just do what God would have you to do. God doesn't fail us. When God puts in our heart to do something and we do it, God provides. God takes care. And sometimes we need to not just look at what we have. We need to ask God, what is it you want us to do? And then as He puts it in our heart, we're going to have to say, God, help us now to be obedient. Help us provide this for us so that we can give. Anybody that has ever done faith promise giving and has extended themselves, I can assure you, has found that God has proven Himself faithful. God's taking care of needs, because as He puts in your heart to do something, God takes care of things. So the key to all this is obedience. Sparingly and bountifully is determined by our faith in the Lord, if you will, and our obedience to the Lord with that faith. So how much you give should be considered. The second thing I want you to see, you are to purpose in your heart to give. First of all, you consider it. Now you purpose to give it. The Bible says in verse number 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. One reason we're taking commitments for missions is this very thing. People have to learn to commit themselves to some things. You know, That's why I'm a part of a local church. I'm committed to this church. By the way, if I weren't the pastor here and I weren't a pastor at all, I would be committed to a church and I would put my life and influence into it. Why? Because that's the way the Bible teaches us. We are to commit ourselves to a place, you know? When I got married to my wife, I didn't say, well, I'm just going to be committed to you for a little while and then I'm going to run off, you know? It's a lifetime thing. When I'm here, I'm committed to this church. You know, we joined together. We entered into a covenant together. And it's a covenant between us and the Lord. Right? This covenant, that's why we're making it through. Everybody else that got married around the time I was married, they're all divorced. But we've understood that we're in a covenant between us and God. There were some vows I took on my wedding day. And I meant those vows. I meant those very things. And I realize some people have had the misfortune of a broken marriage and a broken home and a broken life. But I found out one thing, that if you're determined in your heart to just give yourself to God and enter into that covenant, make that commitment, God takes care of that. Well, it's the same thing in committing the things you do to the church, in the church, with the church, in your giving. The tithe already belongs to God. So we commit above and beyond that. That's what this is talking about. That's what this whole passage is teaching us about. This is above and beyond. There's times that people are going to give when a need arises. Thank the Lord for that. You know, we got a special project going on and we say, well, we need to raise. For instance, we got the January insurance offering. And people have risen up and they've given and they've helped us throughout the years. And you know, it's on our envelopes now, so you can give all year long to it and just work towards it and help us, so when January comes around and we have to pay $14,000 or $15,000 out in insurance, it don't just kill us. You know? Thank the Lord for that. There's times, or there's somebody, sometimes somebody comes through and they have a special need, and on the spur of the moment you give. You know, that's wonderful. And there's going to be things like that. There's special occasions which people are asked to give. And you know, that's how it is. You say, boy, you know, the church just asks you to give so much. Thank God we're under grace and not under law. Do you realize under law, 10% went to the priest, 10% went to another thing, and 10% went to something else? There was 30% given plus the free will offerings. 30% of all your income under the law went to the work of the Lord, and then you were to give free will offerings. Now, somebody says, well, being under grace, we don't have to tithe. The 10% is still the way that God chooses to operate His church. But under grace, it's not something that you're under the thumb to do. It's something that you ought to want to do, because by the grace of God, heaven's going to be your home. Christ is your Savior. Your life has been hid under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the blood covered it all. And there's a privilege to tithe instead of the pressure to tithe. I'm telling you, I'd like to give everything I own to the Lord. I would love to be able to give even more than what I'm giving. And I'm not just saying that try to sound spiritual. I'm just telling you, God's been good to me, and He's given me everything that I have. The wife that I have is because of Him. The children that I have is because of Him. The car that I drive is because of Him. The house that I live in is because of Him. I'm telling you, everything I have that's good is because of who God is and God's blessing on my life. And so now, we're just saying we need a purpose in our heart to give back, to give to the Lord, so that the work of the Lord can be forwarded. There's going to be special occasions which arise. There might be something special, maybe an anniversary gift or something that comes up. But faith promise is something that you must purpose in your heart to do. Remember, the tithe already belongs to God. It's His, and it's to be brought to the storehouse, to the church, to carry out the daily needs of the church. This faith promise is something that is an offering above and beyond that Paul is talking about, and it's still through the local church. We commit ourselves to giving through the local church and helping support missions. So may the Lord help us to see that what we give is important, and then we have to purpose in our heart to give. And then the third thing that we need to see is, when you give, give cheerfully. Give cheerfully. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Paul is stressing to these Christians that they, to these Corinthian Christians that they should give cheerfully, not grudgingly. That means out of sorrows. That's what the word grudgingly means. You see, this not you just don't give out of sorrow. Look, you don't give a special offering just because you feel sorry. You give because it's what God's put in your heart to do. Does that make sense? Nor of necessity, it says. That means of compulsion. That's, I don't get up and try to beg for anything. I'll lay a need before you. But then I'll say, you know, do what God wants you to do. That's what I always say. Isn't that the way it should be? Look, I've been to services where they've taken up 3, 4, 5 offerings. And I tell you what, if I was probably the man I should be and had the backbone, I'd have just got up and walked out. You know? I didn't. I sit there and endured. I've been in 3 or 4 hour services before. And it was all 10-minute preaching rest offering. That's not right. I'm not going to strangle anybody to give. I'm going to tell you this. The tithe belongs to God. You give because it belongs to God. Now, above and beyond that, I'm going to say, here's what the needs are. Ask God what He'd have you to do. And then obey. But when you obey, don't sit there and say, well, God wants me to give this $12. It's all I got. Good night. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't buy a Pepsi tomorrow now. I guess that pack of peanuts I was looking forward to eating tomorrow at lunch, they're going to be gone, you know? Okay. Hey, Lord. You think God's pleased with that? I believe God's pleased when He says, you know, I want you to give what's in your billfold. You say, well, Lord, that's all I've got for the week. That's money. I'll take care of you. You give. He said, oh, that's what you want, Lord. Okay. Okay. You know what the word cheerfully means? Hilariously. Right? I'm not going to do it. I know you're expecting it, but I'm not going to do it. I'd jump up and click my heels, but I'm afraid of how I would land. It would be a terrible tragedy. I'm telling you, this church would never be the same. I got so excited one time at the church I pastored up in Kingsport, I jumped a handrail. I did. I jumped a handrail. And the thing was, it was like here, right there. And I'd just gotten out of cast from 2 broken ankles. And I was preaching and I got excited and, you know, here was the problem, though. It was more flesh. And so I determined that I'm not going to do that. It's flesh. A lot of people, they preachers like that, we're fleshy too, you know. But it was so funny because I went up and the whole congregation went, and then I hit and I didn't miss a lick and I kept right on preaching. And it's just like collectively you heard, I'll never forget it. But as we give, we ought to give out of a cheerful heart. Give cheerfully. Don't give grudgingly or of necessity. Now that's something, we look at that word necessity and we think, boy, that goes against our reasoning, doesn't it? Necessity? But doesn't Paul say that this giving that's above and beyond your tithe is not to be given of necessity? Isn't that amazing? Because I would think, well, it would make sense to say, well, it's necessary that we have this. No, there's nothing necessary. What God wants us to have, God provides. And He provides through your obedience. And when you give, you don't give because you feel so compelled to do it. You give because God put it in your heart to do it. And you're making a commitment to God. It's to the Lord. And as you commit yourself to the Lord, you give cheerfully. I'm telling you. When you realize that this is something God's put in your heart to do and you get excited about it, God's going to bless that offering and God's going to take $12 and He's going to multiply it somehow. Now, I'm not one of these that says, you give $10, God will restore you 4-fold, 7-fold, 100-fold, whatever. I'm just telling you, you obey God and God will take care of you. That's a biblical principle and it's always proven itself to be true. But when you give, don't give grudgingly. Don't give of necessity. Give cheerfully. Give hilariously. I mean, I'm reminded, I was reading one of the commentaries and I was reading about old Scrooge. Scrooge, you know, in Dickens' A Christmas Carol, how he was, bah humbug, bah humbug. But then he had his eyes open, and you remember what happened? He was going around, and he was dancing and laughing and smiling and singing because his eyes had been opened, and he began to realize that life was better than that. It wasn't about hoarding it all up, but it was about giving cheerfully. And he said, where's old Cratchit at? And he went and gave him a turkey, and he started saying, it's Christmas, it's Christmas, it's Christmas. You know, I think about that. Sometimes we go around, we're bah humbug with our money. But when we realize that everything we have is from God anyhow, we're going to let loose of some things, and we're going to say, okay, Lord, it's what you want me to do, then I'm going to do it, and I'm going to have a good time of it. I'm reminded of the widow's two mites. There were men that had all kinds of money, and they came and they were putting their money in the offering, and I'm sure it was a great amount. Great amount. There was a widow, all she had, her whole living was two mites. And she obeyed the Lord. God put in her heart to give all she had, and she gave to the Lord. And this is what Jesus said. She's given more than all of you. Isn't that amazing? See, it's not about the dollar amount. It's about giving what God's told you to give. It's easy to give out of an abundance. But it's difficult to give by faith and have to trust God for the results. But when we really put our faith in God and we trust Him for the results and He proves Himself, I'm telling you that cheerful giving will exceed anything you could ever imagine. You'll be so happy that you've done what God wants you to do. So when you give cheerfully. Understand that's the way God wants us to give. He doesn't want us to, you know, hold on to our billfold and one's pulling and the other one's pulling. He's not going to sit there and pull on your billfold. If He don't want your money if you don't give it cheerfully. He wants us to give cheerfully. So when you sign your commitment card and you put down your, you know, be sure you're going to be happy about it. Be sure you're not going to sit there and think, well, I got to give this much. It's to the Lord you're giving it. Right? And so give cheerfully and enjoy it. I promise you, I'm not just saying this, I'd give it all to the Lord. If we didn't have two almost teenage children and a dog, if we didn't have to eat and drink, you know, you got to live, don't you? But I promise you, God blesses when we give. And I've never regretted a dime I've given to the Lord. Never regretted one dime that I've given to the work of the Lord. Never. Fourth thing I want you to see. As you give cheerfully and from your heart, God will provide. This is a different kind of message than anything I ever preached, isn't it? There's no alliteration. I'm obliterating this, right? I'm obliterating it. There's no alliteration. But it's just simple. It flows. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. See, the Lord knows your ability. And He also knows your motive. He knows if you're given cheerfully or grudgingly or of necessity. And He knows the motive that you're given, you know? And so, as you do this, when you give obediently and with the right motive, then God will make all the grace abound towards you unto every good work. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us in verse number 8? See, when we do what God wants us to do, when we give cheerfully and we give from our heart, God provides. And we just need to obey the Lord. I guess the message today could have just been obey the Lord, because that's what it's all about. Obey the Lord. So let Him give. So let Him give. How? The Bible says, according as His purpose in His heart, let Him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. So let Him give. As you give cheerfully from your heart, God will provide. And finally, I want you to notice this. The reason you should consider giving, and it's in verse number 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Paul was reminding this church at Corinth of the gift of God. You know what that gift was? For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, there's something I want you to see. That word gave, that he gave his only begotten Son, and the word give, verse number 7, where it says, so let him give, comes from the same root word. God joyfully gave his Son. Isn't that amazing? To die on the cross. What did he give? He gave his all, didn't he? And so, if God was willing to give us that, we should consider giving to the Lord. God doesn't expect us to give everything we own. It's all his anyway. He just lets us live on it. But he does expect us to obey him, and he will put in our heart what to give, what to do, how much. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and beg. I wish everybody here, everybody in this place would say, I can give $500 to missions this year. $500. But I know everybody can't. Some people may say, I want to give $1 a week, $52. Some people may say, I'm going to give $5,200. I'm going to give $100 a week. I'd like to meet you. Anyway, I've never known anybody that can do that. There are people that can do that. I was reading one thing. Oswald Smith, who really coined this term, faith promise giving, he said he used to just take up, they'd have a special conference, and they would take up an offering for their missions. And in the offering for their missions for the year, they would get like $7,000. So he started praying about this. He started reading this principle. And he realized that here was a yearly offering that they would give and have a year to give this offering. And so he began this principle of faith promise giving. He said they went from $7,000 to over $250,000 a year in giving, because people prayed about it and they saw it wasn't sight giving. It was faith promise. They began to see that God could provide. I was reading one place the other day. Now, this is amazing to me. I was reading one church that did it. Said they had 74 people that had given, and the total that they had promised to give, 74 people, this must be a rich area, was $371,000. I thought, good night. You know, $371,000. There's somebody in that church. They're probably millionaires or something in that church. I don't know. Somebody. I don't expect anything like that, and I don't believe that God's looking down and he thinks that we're going to get $371,000. But I believe God knows what we can give, and God knows what we ought to give, and that God will put it in our heart. And as we give, we're going to be reminded of how God gave to us. Every time I give to the work of the Lord, it reminds me God's been so good to give me what I have. Through Christ, I have the money I have. Look, this $12 is a gift from the Lord. It's not mine, it's his. He just let me have it. So tomorrow I can buy me a Diet Pepsi or a Diet Coke. I can get me a pack of crackers or something. You know, you stay out, you want something. It's so nice. But if God wanted me to just not have that, and you know, if you cut back on one Coke a day, it costs you 50 cents. 5 days, that's $2.50. You gave $2.50 a week. You realize you've given $130, something like that, without me trying to add it. $29. I think it might be $130. Not sure. But anyway, you see what happens? God puts in your heart. God's given us so much. But God knows what you can do, and God knows what you can give. And you need to consider because of how good God's been to us. The Bible says, so let him give. And this morning, I never regret preaching on giving. I'm not always as comfortable with it as I am preaching on Calvary or even on other things. Because I don't want people to think I'm a money-begging preacher. I don't think y'all would ever think that. I hope not, because I never beg for money. But I am a preacher that'll beg you to be obedient and to do what God wants you to do. God has been so good to me. He's provided everything. And I think I could go around with a microphone and I could say, tell me how good God's been to you. and every one of us would tell us of things that God has done for us if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The day I trusted Christ as my Savior was the greatest day of my life. I received what God gave me in His Son. And ever since that day, my life should have been giving myself back to Him, giving what I have back to Him. When our children were born, we realized that God gave them to us to rear, but they were His. They're His. And we want to raise them for Him. I want my daughter to serve the Lord. And I want my son to serve the Lord. It doesn't mean that he'll be a preacher or that she'll be a missionary. But whatever it is that they do, I want them to be in the will of God, serving the Lord. If they're, whatever it is, for a construction worker or a secretary, serve the Lord. But if God calls them to preach and God calls them, you know, you think about that. What if God called my daughter to be a missionary? And He takes her to somewhere way far away. It would break my heart, but I would be so thrilled. Break my heart because I'd miss her. But I believe there would be more joy over the sorrow because she's not mine. She's His. And the money I have is not mine. It's His. And He's given it to me to be a good steward. And if I will obey the Lord in my finances, God will take care of everything else in my finances. May the Lord help us. So the first thing you have to consider is, have you received the gift that God has given you? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you were to die today, would heaven be your home? Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Think about that. He died that you could live. He gave His life so that you could have life. And if you just walk out and saying, I'm going to put it off and put it off, you know what you're saying? His gift. I don't need it. You say, well, I'm not saying that. I know I need it. I'm going to tell you something. You better take it when you know you need it, because there may be a day you don't think you need it, and it'll be too late. You can send away your day of grace. You say, when's that point? I don't know. I wouldn't take a chance if I were you. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You could be in an automobile accident today, and you could be a vegetable the rest of your life, dear friend. It'll be too late. You say, I don't like it. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you that every day is a gift from God, and you need to deal with your soul salvation now if the Lord's dealing with you. I don't want to scare anybody into being saved. If I could, I would. But I want you to realize every day is precious. And you need to have this settled before anything else. Do you know heaven's going to be your home? By faith, you've trusted Christ as Savior. And those that are considering the faith promise commitment this morning, the decision's yours. Do what God tells you to do. I want you to be faithful to the Lord. Because if you'll obey God, then God will take care of the finances of the church, the blessings that we need, the things we want to do. You know, we give right now $1,655 a month to missions. That's our missions, not the offering we take up, not Faith Promise. $700-$800 a month, I think we take up probably Faith Promise. Sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little less. Am I right? Something like that. So we're not taking up probably half Faith Promise a month. But we give $1,655 to missions. That's $19,860 a year. I praise the Lord for that. We're giving almost $20,000 a year. That's probably more than 10% of our income for a full year. That's wonderful. I'm grateful for that. You know? But is that what God would have us to be doing? Does He want us to be doing more? Because out of that money, most of that comes out of the general fund. It don't come out of the mission fund. So you have to realize, this is how this works. Our tithe helps take care of the needs here. Our faith promise helps send the gospel there. And so that's what we're doing. That's why we're doing this. I've never preached a faith promise day. I've been to them, been a part of them, but I've never preached one. I ask the Lord to give me grace to say the right things and not to seem overbearing and not to seem pushy, but to be obedient. And I want to tell you something. I may not be the greatest preacher, but I know I've obeyed the Lord today in my message, and in reading the Bible and understanding what it has to say. And now I'm asking you just to obey the Lord. I want you to know Christ as your Savior. And then I want you to extend yourself to doing what God wants you to do with your life. with not just your finances, but with every part of your life. Commit it to the Lord. And let's honor God. Let's bow forward to prayer. Father, I pray that you'd have your will and way in this time of invitation. Help us to be committed to you. Lord, I pray for those that are here today without Christ as Savior. And they don't have the peace in their heart. They can't say for sure that they know that heaven's going to be their home. And I pray this very day, Lord, that you would help them to understand your love for them. How you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for their sin. And Lord, that by faith they can trust you. And they can go out of here today a changed person with faith in Christ and with the assurance that heaven's going to be their home. Oh Lord, would you please help them and deal with them. And Lord, help them to understand that right now how much you love them and what you've given so that they could have life. And then Lord, for those of us that know Christ as Savior, I pray for those that are